Thank you for listening to the Collective Church podcast. Collective is a church for the rest of us, which means if you've never been to church, walked away from the church, or are struggling to find a church to connect with, you belong here. Right now, we're in a sermon series called Standing on Business, which is all about who we are as a church and the values that we stand on. These are the things that make Collective Collective, so we're glad you're listening. Now, let's get into Sunday's message.
All right, so here is what I want to do to kick things off today. I want you to grab your phone and open up whatever notes app that you use, or if you are a journaler, you got your journal with you, turn to a fresh page, and at the top of this notes or at the top of your page, I want you to write down this question. What is the boldest thing that I have ever done? And what I want you to do is I want you to take the next 30 seconds or so to think through this and answer this question. Most of the time when you are asked a question like this, you already know what it is, right? You've been telling this story for years. What is the boldest thing you have ever done? So you go ahead and write that down. I'll throw a few examples out there for those of you who just need the gears moving a little bit. Maybe you've jumped out of a plane, right? That's a bold thing to do. Maybe for you, it was shooting your shot and asking your now wife on a first date. Maybe applying for a dream job, even though you felt underqualified. Moving across country to go to school or just to move across country. Or maybe a new hobby or something that you started that you knew nothing about, but you took a bold risk. You tried something new for the first time. What is the boldest thing that you have ever done? Now, right below that, I want you to write down another question. I want you to write down, what is the boldest thing that I've done in my faith? Same thing, give you about 30 seconds. This one's a little bit harder to think through. So again, I'll give you some examples. What's the boldest thing you have ever done in your faith? Right? Was it when you decided to get baptized? Was it when you invited that friend to come to church with you? Was it when you felt compelled to share your story and what Jesus has done in your life? To be honest, for some of you, I think you can say it was just walking through the doors of this church, right? Giving God a chance to do something in your life after years of disbelief, after years of being closed off, after years of pain, just searching for something new. Right, so what is the boldest thing that you have done in your faith? Well, I want you to hold on to those answers. If you didn't write them down, think about them. We'll get to them a little bit later. Today, we're in week three of our series that is now called Standing on Business, apparently. Thanks, DJ. My staff's been telling me that's actually how it's said. I'm like, I'm not doing that on a Sunday morning, but I had to now. But we're in this series called Standing on Business, where we're talking about the core values of Collective. But what's really important about these core values is that these aren't collective things, these are Jesus things. And we genuinely believe that if you choose to live out these values, you will experience the life that Jesus desires for you to have. And today, as we move forward in this series, we're talking about our value of faith that's bold. And faith that's bold means we believe that pursuing faith means being bold, taking risks, and watching God move. Now, I know oftentimes that word faith can feel a little bit vague. We kind of use it to describe a bunch of things. And so let's look at what the Bible says about faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." And so faith is believing that God is with us because even though we can't see him, we can see him moving in our lives. We see his presence. We feel his presence. Pastor Jim Bergen says that faith is trusting that God's promises hold true even in the hard times. And Pastor Oswald Chambers says that faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. Now here's what the Bible says about being bold. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The godly are as bold as lions." And godly doesn't mean people who are perfect, but it means people who pursue God, people who pursue faith, who try to live and follow him. Those people are as bold as lions. Here's another one. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So ultimately, God created us as people to be bold. Now, as we go through this value today, it's going to feel a lot like the value we talked about last week of own your growth. And so I want to distinguish them like this. Own your growth is I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to check a box and take a next step. I'm going to forgive that person so I can let go. I'm going to set up an appointment to go to therapy. I'm going to give. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite, whatever that step is. But faith that's bold is as I own my growth, I am going to trust that God's going to do what only God can do. I'm going to do what I can do, and God's going to do what he can do. And in the past, I've actually separated these values when we've done value series and kind of spread them out a little bit. But this year, I actually put them back to back to press on us a little bit more coming out of last weekend. So that's what today is all about. And to do that, we're going to read a story in the Bible that involves Jesus and his closest friend, Peter. Jesus has just performed the miracle of feeding over 5,000 people by multiplying 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And this is what happens next in Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Verse 23, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. This is really just an aside in this story, but I want to point this out. One of the reasons I personally love Jesus is because his life's rhythm was that he would often step out of the chaos. It was a part of his day-to-day or his week-to-week that he would step out of the noise, he would step out of the daily grind, and he would spend intentional one-on-one time with God to recharge through prayer, through just listening, through being in the presence of God. When you read this, you realize sometimes Jesus, even Jesus, needed moments alone. And the same is true for us. One of the best things that you can do with your spiritual health is intentionally spending time alone with God. Like I said, that's just an aside, but it's important for us to know. But that's what Jesus does. He steps aside, he spends time with God. Verse 24 says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. And so at this point, the disciples are in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when a storm hits. The Sea of Galilee is actually known as a very calm body of water, but every once in a while, a storm will rip through the area and it can get waves up to about 10 feet high. And so they're in this fight to stay alive. They're in this fight so they do not drown. And we don't know how long they're kind of in this battle with the storm, but verse 25 says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them. Jesus keeps like really weird hours apparently. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus comes toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, it's a ghost, which is a very reasonable response if you think about it. Of course, they're afraid in this moment. They're on a boat in the middle of a storm, and a figure that looks kind of like Jesus approaches them. Now, I don't know why they jumped to the ghost conclusion, but this definitely would have freaked me out as well at 3 o'clock in the morning. But then verse 27 says this, and Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. Did you know that the number one phrase in the Bible is some form of the phrase, do not be afraid? I've even heard that some form of do not be afraid is in the Bible 366 times, right? And people like to say it's one for every day and one when there's a leap year, just like this year. And so for that phrase to be in the Bible that many times, it feels like God knew that a lot of the stuff that was going to happen in our lives every single day, there was gonna be a natural response of fear. Maybe a storm. Maybe coming face to face with something unknown. And the answer to fear is always the same in the Bible. It's that we have to remember that Jesus is with us. It's that we're told to keep our eyes on him. And that's exactly what Jesus encourages his disciples to do. And this is really important. Sometimes when you hear this story, if you've heard this story before, you imagine that when Jesus is walking on the water, it's because it's calm. But it's not. It doesn't say that. In fact, the storm is still raging while he walks on water and goes to them. And Jesus doesn't actually calm the storm to make their fears go away. He simply says, take courage because I am here. The story continues in verse 28. It says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. I love this moment. I love Peter. But one of the things I wonder is if it wasn't Jesus, like who else would it have been, right? Mom? Like, but here's the thing. When it comes to Peter, we do the same thing. Jesus will be standing right in front of us, but we will still shout out, Jesus, is that you? Jesus will be asking us to trust him, but we still say, Jesus, is it really, really you? We say, Jesus, if I'm going to take this next step that I feel like you are calling me to take, I need you to prove that it's you. Jesus, if I'm going to remove that toxic thing from my life that I know I need to remove, I need you to confirm that feeling is coming from you. We do the exact same thing. Before moving to Frederick to start Collective, my wife and I spent a long time looking at cities in kind of the DMV area that we felt like we could plant in. And every night we would pray and ask God to tell us clearly where to go. Like, God, make it so abundantly clear. But the thing is, we never got an answer. In fact, every single time we prayed, we felt like God was just saying yes. meaning we pray for Gaithersburg, and he'd say yes, or Arlington, and he'd say yes, Frederick, he'd say yes. Ultimately, what we realized was God was saying, yes, you should go plant a church in whatever city you do it in, I will be there, which, to be honest, wasn't really helpful. That was not what we wanted. And so we'd pray for a sign, right? We'd jokingly pray, God, just like send us an email somehow. I would open up my Bible and read, and I would pray that it would say, then Jesus said to Michael and Ray, go plant in, fill in the blank. But it didn't happen. So one day while we were in the thick of praying for clarity from God, we visited Frederick. And while we were here, I posted a picture of downtown on Facebook, and someone who I hadn't talked to in years commented, and she said, my best friends live in Frederick, you should go and meet them. And I immediately thought, there's absolutely no way I'm going to do this. Like, I'm not gonna meet up with strangers to talk to them about church planting. But for whatever reason, we got their contact info, we reached out, and we got connected. A few weeks later, Ray and I, along with our friends, Chris and Maggie, went to have dinner with this couple, and while getting to know each other, we learned that we went to the same college. We were just a few years apart. We learned that we had a ton of mutual friends. We also learned that it wasn't a setup to being taken and murdered, which was really nice. When we started talking to them about Frederick and wrestling with starting a church here, they shared with us that they'd been living here for a few years and they had struggled to find a church, and so they just stopped going. Then I'll never forget this. They said this to us. They said, you should really plant a church here. Frederick needs it. But here's the best part of the story. As we're driving home that night, we're all talking about the conversation we just had, and I started to get really angry, and I started to get frustrated, and I said, I just really wish God would clearly tell us where to plant this church. God, just give us a sign. And there's this brief moment of silence before Ray, Chris, and Maggie are like, what is wrong with you? Like, someone literally said they wished someone would come and plant a church in Frederick, and you don't think that God is telling us where to plant. Spoiler alert, we chose Frederick. But I was doing exactly what Peter was doing. Jesus was standing right in front of me, but I was still saying, Jesus, is that really you? When it clearly was. And my guess is that some of you are doing the same thing right now when it comes to your faith. Jesus is asking you to be bold and take a next step. Jesus is asking you to be bold and share your story. Jesus is asking you to be bold and serve others. Jesus is asking you to be bold and end that relationship. Jesus is asking you to be bold and come clean about that sin in your life. Jesus might even be asking you to be bold and leave your career and go into ministry. And the thing is, you know it's Jesus. You know it is. It's clearly him because it can't be anybody else. But you are still saying, Jesus, are you sure it's you? You're still saying, if it's really you, will you prove it? So Peter says, prove it. Verse 29 says this. Jesus says, yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on water toward Jesus. This is an incredible story. Think about everything that went into this moment. They just saw Jesus perform a miracle where he fed thousands of people. They got into a boat. There's a massive storm that's trying to take them out. But while this storm is raging, Jesus walks on water and meets them in the middle of this storm. And then Peter, right? Peter, just an ordinary dude, decides to step out of the boat and he walks on water as well. Here's the first takeaway from this story that I want you to write down today. Bold faith requires trust in Jesus. After a brief moment of doubt or fear or distrust or insecurity, whatever it was from Peter, he realizes that Jesus is standing in front of him, walking on water, and because he trusts Jesus, he steps out of the boat and does the exact same thing. Right? I know that some of you hear this story and you think, I want to have faith like that. I wish I was like Peter. I want to have faith like Peter. But do you also want to trust Jesus the same way that Peter trusts Jesus? Because really, the story isn't about walking on water. This is about trusting Jesus enough to step out of the boat. It's about trusting Jesus when there's a storm raging around you and he says, don't be afraid because I'm with you. It's about trusting Jesus even though you don't know if the thing you're even asking him to do is something that you have enough strength or courage or power to do. I cannot tell you how many conversations I've had over the years with people who will tell me that they want to see God move in their lives. That they need to see God move in their shame, in their addictions, in their grief, in their doubt. But when I ask them, do you trust Jesus enough to do the hard things that he is asking you to do? Do you trust him enough to take a risk, to be able to step out of your comfort zone? There's almost always hesitancy. It's wanting faith in Peter, but also wanting to keep one foot in the boat, and it just doesn't work that way. If you want God to move, it means you have to trust him enough to step out of the boat and let him do what only he can do. And bold faith requires trust in Jesus. Let's keep reading. Verse 30 says this, "But when he," meaning Peter, "saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted." Here's a second takeaway I want you to write down. When you step out on faith, you might fail. I wish this wasn't true. I wish every time you took a bold step, I wish every time you decided to own your growth, it was smooth. It was easy. Everything went the way you wanted it to go, but it's just not true. When you step out on faith, you might fail. A few years ago, a story came out about a man named Dennis Collier. And Collier had a pilot's license, but he hadn't flown in 20 years. And he decided he missed flying, so he purchased a Seawind 3000, which is an amphibious plane that can take off and land on both solid ground and water. This doesn't look like a plane, okay? This looks like something that will crash, and that's exactly what happened. And so Collier went, it was in California. He flew from Michigan to California. His goal was to fly it home, and he takes it off, and immediately on landing, he forgets to put the landing gear down. It had been 20 years, and he crashes. But he survived. So he decided he was going to keep flying it home. And so he got up in the plane. His goal was to fly it to New Mexico. The flight went fine, but then on landing, he lost sight of the runway, and he crashed again. But he survived again. And so he fixed up his plane, and he set course for Michigan. This time, the plane wasn't flying right, didn't feel right, so he turned around, and guess what happened? He crashed while landing again. Collier ended up crashing 7 times before making it to Michigan. He lived, but he is a terrible pilot, okay? He should not have, this is a bad hobby for him. But I think Dennis's flight journey feels a lot like a faith journey. Right? It's bumpy. There are going to be times when it's not smooth. There will be times when it feels like there are crash landings. But the thing is, in order to get to where God is calling us to go, we can't give up. Author Eugene Peterson once said that failure means we have taken action. It doesn't mean we're unworthy or incapable. It just means we're brave enough to try. Failure is a part of life, but we want to be brave enough to try. There are going to be times when we step out on faith and it is terrifying. And then our trust in Jesus fades, or we take our eyes off of him, or we stop following his lead and we start following our lead because it feels safer or smarter or easier. And the truth is, because of that, we will sink. And while I could tell you just don't be afraid when taking risk, or I could say don't have any doubts and you won't run into these scenarios, I don't think it's possible. Because we should be taking steps of faith that are scary. We should be stepping out of the boat in the middle of a storm. And when you do that, you might sink. But here's the good news. If you begin to sink, which is completely possible, this is what we need to hold on to. Verse 31 says this, "As Peter sunk, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. He said, 'You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?'" And so bold faith requires trust. When you step out on faith, you might fail. Here's the third thing I want you to write down. When you fail, Jesus will catch you. Now listen, I could have softened this a little bit by saying, if you fail, Jesus will catch you. But the truth is, there are times we are going to fail. This is a when thing. But Jesus will catch us every single time. Jesus wasn't going to let Peter drown that day. That wasn't an option on the table. Peter didn't even have to ask Jesus to save him or cry out to him. Jesus was going to do it anyways. And the same is true for us when we take risks in our faith so that we can watch God move. So here's another question I want to ask you. What bold thing is God asking you to do right now? What thing is he pressing on your heart where you are looking at him going, "Jesus, is this really you?" when you know it's him? Right? Maybe it's inviting that person to church that God has been pressing on you lately. Right? It's that person, their name pops up all the time and you know, I just got to talk to them about this. Maybe it's sharing your faith with someone and opening up about what Jesus is doing in your life. Right? Telling them, "This is what God has done. And this is how he saved me." For some of you, maybe it's praying for the first time, doing what Jesus did and stepping out and just spending some alone time, some one-on-one time with God. Maybe it's reading your Bible for the first time or asking your spouse to read the Bible with you. Maybe it's checking a box and taking a next step, like getting baptized or joining the team or joining a small group. Maybe it's being honest about your fears and insecurities with someone that you trust so you can begin working on changing those things inside of you. Or here's a heavy one. Maybe it's bringing that sin in your life into the light and letting God start work on your soul. or being honest about your addiction and seeking out help, or being honest about your mental health struggles and finding a counselor, or being honest about your marriage problems and actually starting to work on them. For some of you, it might be just putting God first. Because for most of your life, it's been your career, it's been your money, it's been relationships, it's even been yourself. But maybe God's pressing on you to put him first. Maybe it's to be bold in your family, be bold in your marriage, be bold in your faith. Maybe for some of you, to be honest, it's just simply coming back next week because you are ready for God to start doing some work. And you need it and you want it and you long for it. God is asking you to take a risk. God is asking you to be bold. And the truth is, we might fail. But if we do, Jesus will always catch us. Earlier, I asked you to think about and write down the boldest thing you have ever done. And hopefully you did that. Well, I want to push this a little bit further. I want to ask you, what is the second boldest thing you've ever done? Probably not something that you've thought about before, because you just go back to the first bold thing that you've done. And the reason why is because this is a little bit harder to answer, isn't it? It can't really be the second time you jumped out of an airplane because it was really bold the first time, but you knew what to expect the second time. You can't be asking your now wife on a second date because you already knew that you liked her. It can't be applying for another job that you're underqualified for because you've done that before. You know what that feels like. It can't be moving back across the country. You've already lived there. It can't be trying another new hobby because you've already realized that doing the new hobby the first time wasn't that scary. What is the second boldest thing you've ever done? That leads to our last application for today. If you want to continually have a faith that's bold, you have to continually take risks. And here's why. Boldness in your faith today might not look like boldness next year. Really what that means is you can't hold on to that one thing you did 20 years ago and act like you have a bold faith. Let me talk about this church for a second. Here's some of the risks that we have taken as a church as we've strived to have faith that's bold. In fall of 2018, while we were still meeting at West Frederick Middle School, we were a year old, and we took a risk by adding a second service. We didn't know if people would show up. We didn't even know if we had the people to do it, but we wanted to create more space for people to bump into Jesus, so we took a risk. In the summer of 2019, we decided not to meet at the middle school on a Sunday morning, but instead we wanted to meet at the Wise on Prospect Boulevard to buy groceries to fight food insecurity in Frederick. Just a few months after that, we started our first capital campaign called the Frederick That God Sees in order to raise $250,000 so we can get out of the middle school because we needed even more space than what it was able to offer us. In the end, this church gave $450,000, but because you were so generous, we felt like God was pressing on us to give 10% of it away. And so we did. We helped pay off medical debt. We supported a church plant. We put over $10,000 into Frederick small businesses during COVID. In 2020, when COVID was raging, we were fully online and we signed a lease for this building, which was a much bigger project than we ever imagined, but we knew we needed to get back together, so we took a risk. In 2022, things were going well in this space, so our landlord said, "We've got two more suites opening up. Do you want them?" We decided we'd open up two more suites for Collective Kids, even though we didn't have the kids to fill it, but we thought if you build it, it will come, and that's all you guys ever did was fill that space up. But to do that, we also had to raise $100,000, and you all made it happen in one Sunday. In the fall of 2022, we decided to launch the Your Story Matters podcast where people could sit down and share their stories vulnerably about what God has done in their life and the highs and lows. Last year, we launched For Frederick Week, where we get to serve for seven straight days. We bought a food truck, because who knows what God wants us to do with that. And we knocked down the walls in this auditorium to make this space bigger. This church has a history of taking risks and trusting God, and a history of God showing up in amazing ways. But if I got up here this Sunday to talk about having a faith that's bold and said, hey, because we've been bold in the past, we don't need to be bold again. Or if I said, because we took a risk and we saw God move in incredible ways in our past, we can just hold on to that forever, we would have a plateaued faith. We would have a stagnant faith. We'd have a boring faith. To be honest, we'd have a boring church. Now, what God has done in the past is really important in our story. It's this memory that we've seen God's goodness and God's presence in this church, that when we've trusted him, he's shown up even bigger than we ever imagined. But if we're constantly looking back at that bold thing we did a few years ago in our faith, we will miss out on how God wants to move in our lives right now. We don't want to be the church that took risks in the past and then decided to play it safe. We want to be a group of people who keep trusting God and keep watching him move. I mean, I don't know what's coming next. In the past, there's been times when I'm like, here's this big announcement, this is this crazy thing. But I'm going to share with you some of the things that God is pressing on our hearts as a staff and leadership. At some point, we know that we have to add a third service on Sunday mornings. We're filling up the space. We want to create more space for people to come and see who Jesus is. That's going to happen soon. But at the same time, as we think about a third service, we also feel God's pressing on us to add a fourth service. Not a Sunday service, but we've always felt this burden to have a service during the week. To be honest, my dream for the longest time is a Monday night service. Because in Frederick, most restaurants are closed. And we'd be able to seek a whole different group of people that cannot be here on Sunday because of work. At the same time, we know that Collective can't do everything, so we feel like God is pressing on us to plant more churches. We feel like God is pressing on us that at some point we're gonna have to own our own building because there's so many more things that we could do if we owned a space that was bigger and better than this one. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, but if God keeps asking us to be bold, we're gonna keep doing it. And my hope is the next time I get to preach on this value of faith that's bold, there's a whole other list of stories that we get to tell. Now, I'm lucky enough that every year I have the opportunity to head to Northern Virginia where I grew up, and I get to be able to preach at my home church. And many of you know, I didn't grow up in the church, but when I was in middle school, some neighbors invited my family to church, and of course we said no, and then they asked again, and we said no again, and they asked about 10 more times before finally we relented and showed up at one of their things. The TLDR of that story is we went to a community event, my family ate like 80 hot dogs, ended up in the hospital getting stitches in my head. Don't have time for that. You have to ask me later. The hot dogs did give me stitches in my head, just to be clear. It was a moon bounce, which is why I don't go on those anymore. But the next morning, we woke up and we went to church for the first time in my life. And then over time, we got involved. And then my siblings got baptized. Then I got baptized and my parents did. Right? And it's this really, really wonderful story. And my home church tells this story all the time. And at first, I really liked it. To be honest, I would show up to preach and there'd be about 1,000 people there and they would know me as the kid who started going to their church and went into church planning, and it was like I was a rock star. I'd go around like high-fiving strangers, like kissing babies and stuff, whatever. But then when I went back the next year, they told the same story again. And they did it again and again and again. And I asked one of the staff members who was a friend of mine why they shared the story of my family so much, even though it had been 25 years. He said, it's because we don't have many new stories to tell. And the thing is, I love my home church. I am very confident that without that church, I wouldn't be following Jesus and Collective wouldn't exist. But I don't want to be the church that tells the same story from 25 years ago because it doesn't have any new stories worth sharing. And the antidote to that is being a church that is constantly being bold and taking risks. And the same is true for us when it comes to our faith. Think about Peter. I think about his story. Well, there isn't another time that he walks on water. My guess is that if he got another chance, he would absolutely step out of the boat again. But this time he wouldn't be afraid. And if he got a third chance, he wouldn't even ask if it was Jesus standing in front of him. He would just know and he would jump out and he would start running. And then this would give him the confidence to do another bold thing and another bold thing and another. And I think that at some point he would look back in his life and he'd think that walking on water wasn't that big of a deal because of everything else that he's seen God do in his life. And that is the type of faith that we want. That is the type of faith that I want. That is what I want for this church. A faith that's always growing, always risky, always relying on Jesus. A faith that isn't about that one bold thing that we did many years ago. And so for you, when you trusted God and you stepped out of the boat and showed up at Collective for the first time, it was bold. It really was. It is very vulnerable to show up at a church for the first time. When you decided to take a next step to own your growth, that was bold. When you got baptized, when you chose to trust God with your money, when you joined the team and started serving to create space for other people to take bold steps, when you joined a small group and you found community and you chose to be vulnerable, right, those were bold steps. You took risks, and my guess is you got to see God move. But what was bold a few years ago, or a few months ago, or even a few weeks ago, stops being bold and starts being normal when you take risks and let God move. And so if we want to have a faith that's bold, it means we have to constantly be taking risks. Now, at the start of this morning, I asked two questions for you to write down and wrestle with. Right? First one, was the boldest thing you've ever done in your life? Second one, was the boldest thing you've ever done in your faith? I want to finish with one more question. I want you to wrestle with this week. What is the next bold thing that you are going to do in your faith? What is the next bold thing that you are going to do in your faith? Because the truth is, Jesus is standing right in front of you and he is asking you to trust him. He's asking you to do something bold. He is asking you to take a risk. He's asking you to step out of the boat and do something incredible so that he can move in your life in ways that only he can. So what are you going to do? Let's pray. God, this is a hard question to answer. Because the truth is, I think a lot of us long for safety. God, I think a lot of us long for calm seas. God, I think a lot of us hold on to this bold thing that we did years in the past because we're proud of that, and we should be. But we allow that to define what our faith looks like and our trust looks like. But the truth is, we did something 20 years ago, and we haven't done something since. God, we did something a few months ago, and we haven't done something since. So God, I just pray for every single one of us that this week we take a bold step of faith. God, there's been something that you've been pressing on our heart for the past week that we've been wrestling with, that we've been considering. God, my guess is there's even times when we've opened up the app to check a box, or we've opened up our email to ask a question, or we've even probably walked towards somebody in the lobby on a Sunday morning, but something's gotten in the way. Really, it was fear, and we took our eyes off of you, and because of that, God, we haven't taken that next step. We haven't fully trusted you. Really, what's happening, God, is we've got one foot in and one foot out, and we're trying to figure out how to see you move. God, the truth is it won't happen until we fully step out and trust you, to know that you are here, and then we can have courage to keep going, keep trusting you, and keep seeing what you can do in our life and in our faith and in our marriage and our doubts. So God, I just pray that every single person here, if I were to ask the same question again next week of what's the boldest thing you've done lately, God, that we'd have an answer. It's not one from 25 years ago, but from today. God, we're thankful that as we take these bold steps, as we trust you, as we step out, God, that if we fail, if we lose sight of you, if we have doubts or fears, God, that as we sink, you will catch us. God, you'll never let us drown. You'll never let us go beneath the surface of the water and not come back up, because that is why you're there. God, help us be bold this week. God, we thank you and love you and pray these things in your name. Amen.
If our values here at Collective resonate with you, we'd love to encourage you to lean into our community. Head to our website at www.mycollective.church, download the Church Center app and choose Collective Church as your home church, or follow us on social media at My Collective Church to learn more and find opportunities to own your growth.